Right, I can't believe we're not going to put that on the actual show. Happy birthday, Chuck.
It is recorded.
We will. Don't worry.
Patrice does have it recorded.
Everything that's streamed is auto-recorded. I got everything.
There's no reason to give this any more publicity.
Oh, look, and Bob Beach left the chat.
Yeah. Is that because of my birthday or your singing, Jeff? That's the question.
All I can figure is that my plans for a successful career as a lounge singer just fell through the floor.
A magic man says happy birthday as well. It's lovely.
Yeah, I see. Thank you.
One big happy family.
So, all right. Well, then I guess it's time to start a show. Here we go. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. I'm your host, Jeff Gamet. And we have a backup host today for just in case. Ewan, how's it going?
Oh, I am. Oh, okay. Yeah.
No pressure. I mean, okay, to be fair, it's not like anything would ever happen where mid-show I would just have to bail for, family
emergency. What are the odds of that?
Higher than you think.
Spoiler, Chuck, that happened yesterday.
Yeah, I got the impression.
But it sounded like not all's well, but all's good enough.
All's good enough, yes.
Good.
Yeah, and actually, I'm okay sharing a little bit of this. So turns out, and we've known this, my mom has vascular dementia, and it shows up in little ways every now and then. And occasionally it shows up in a very big way. And that happened yesterday. And when something like that happens, it's really impossible without being in a hospital and having tests run to tell if this is vascular dementia or if this is a stroke or an aneurysm. Mm-hmm. And so we spent the day in the hospital yesterday and no stroke, no aneurysm. So mom is okay, with the caveat that this is something that is just part of her world now. So anyhow, thank you for covering for me when I had to drop off and rush to the hospital.
Right. It was all easy. There was bugger all left, but we managed to go on for another hour.
Oh, great.
Of course.
Yeah, well, I assume it was easier without me in the way. But 100%. Anyhow, I totally interrupted you telling us how you're doing, Ewan.
I'm all right. Two shows in 1 week. That's a record for me, isn't it, now? Don't think I've done that for about 4 years.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm happy. Do I know anything about Mac? Not really.
Perfect.
But as always, Greenie's is in me. And will guide me with stupid questions, which is why I should probably host. Yeah, because you all know things and I don't, so it's always good that the host is an idiot, which I'm rapidly approaching capability and competence for. I'm looking forward to this because I want to find out more about what's happened with Apple because I've got a couple of questions. But...
So it's always better if the host is an idiot. Now I get title. Why you asked me to take over for you.
Well, no, he always was when I was doing it. No, he always was when I did it. So
many things make sense now. Yeah. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. Still finishing off getting this office podcast studio set, ready to go here. It's a bit of a mess. That's why I'm
blurred.
It's blurred. I purposely said that I was going to blur it until it's all ready to look spectacular on camera. So, but glad to be here. Kind of crappy rainy today, but good to be here. We missed you yesterday, Jeff.
I'm so sorry that I was not able to join you on In Touch with iOS last night.
Spectacular. You wait to hear Mike Potter. He did a number on some rants. So,
oh man, and I missed it.
It was
therapeutic.
Published today. It was very therapeutic. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think Marty's going to write a paper on that.
Yeah, we did an intervention.
I created a snippet already. I'm going to put it out on YouTube. Just his rant.
I am very much looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I think I called it when I said, so Mike, now we understand your deep-seated anger towards Apple.
Did Apple not release the products that he needed or wanted?
You'll just have to watch it.
That's fair.
Listen or watch.
It's difficult to explain the logic. There is a logic to it, but it's and you know, in some ways, Mike has some points. I'm not sure I agree with many of them, but there's some points in there.
But it's, you know, I trace it back to some deep-seated resentment that he had because Apple didn't meet his needs one time. So
yeah.
But I'm doing great. I'll let you move on.
Awesome. And congratulations on the move. And yeah, I'm so excited to see your podcast empire without the blurring when you have everything set back up again.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be cool. Yeah. Well, everyone, it's Chuck's birthday. He's 5 today. Happy birthday, birthday boy.
Happy birthday.
He's not in the big boy pants yet, though.
Not yet. So actually, okay. According to my calendar, Chuck, because of the date that I put your birthday in without a year, Fantastical thinks you're 11 today.
Yeah. Which may say something about Fantastical math, but that's another discussion.
Or about you, Chuck.
Or about you.
About me? Well, yeah, there are folks that have speculated on that. That would be at the appropriate age. So, yeah, whatever. But thank you, guys.
I've just got a shiver down my back because that's the age I was when I first met Miss Abel.
Yeah. So, is there cake on the schedule for today?
Oh, probably so. Yeah, not of my making, but yeah.
Yeah, excellent. And hopefully some level of shenanigans will take place. You can decide what that entails.
No, I have no say in this whatsoever. Team Cindy has taken over everything.
Oh, yeah, excellent. Good. Then there will be shenanigans.
Yes.
It will be spectacular tonight.
Yes.
I will be told how I celebrate, how I celebrate, when, where, the whole bit. So it's like, nice. Yeah, I'm
but
way beyond my
you
control.
You can't even choose, gosh.
Good.
No. No. So,
I think that's better.
It takes some pressure off, I must say.
True.
No, I can appreciate that. For a very long time, my birthday fell during Macworld or CES, depending on which one was first at the time. Mm-hmm. And so my birthday always involved interviewing companies, running around to the expo floor, maybe doing a presentation, and then in the evening going to an after party event and being surprised by whatever band is playing, and then the next day get up and do it all again. When I switched careers and that wasn't what I was doing anymore, the first year my birthday rolled around and I was asked, what do you want to do for your birthday? I was like I was like my mom yesterday, and completely incapable of communicating, forming a coherent thought, or offering up any sort of response whatsoever. And I hadn't had to do that for so long. I had no idea. And it's still difficult for me to figure out what do I want to do for my birthday. So I guess what I'm hearing as I speak is I should probably get back into doing something that takes me to CES in January so the pressure is off.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. We want you back at CES.
Oh,
that
hell
was
yeah.
So much fun. Oh, that was so much fun. I know why you want me there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Reviews from the floor live.
The best reviews from the floor.
100%.
Yep.
Yeah. And, the adult booths miss you, Jeff.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they do. And honestly, yeah. I think I was one of the few people that would go to their booths and talk to them in a serious way and not get like all overtly jokey or uncomfortable. I mean, when you talk to him, you got to be straight through the whole thing. Otherwise, it doesn't work. You're not serving anyone.
There are adult booths.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Adult product booths.
adult electronics. Adult
products.
Yeah.
That's true. That's
better said.
Well, although the AVN usually is happening at the same time, so you can go down the street. So.
Oh.
It's not, is it back again now? Because it got moved, didn't it? I was gutted.
I think they're still offset just slightly.
Mm.
But yeah. But if you show up for one, the timing works. You can be there for both.
I think one year it was at Resorts World. It was there going on.
Which is why Dave spends multiple weeks in Vegas around that time.
Yeah, of there you go. I was actually staying at Resorts World that year at SES. So
how convenient.
Yeah.
Marty, what you missed that you and still enjoys to this day was one of the live booth interviews that I did at CES, and it was at an adult toy booth.
On the big show.
Yeah, so the company was showing me these products, and they're like, look, you know, this is, feel this silicone. It feels very real and natural. So I'm sitting there live on camera.
Touching silicone.
Touching silicone, holding up sex toys, asking about, about how the remote connections work and just all this stuff. And for the people that wanted to know about these things, I was giving them a valuable service because they were getting information they needed. For Ewan, I was giving him, 5 minutes of entertainment that will last his whole life.
Absolutely. The guy was getting so excited. What, you're streaming live to England now?
Yeah.
The world, mate. I've never said some pretty thing.
Oh man!
But when it really got fun is when Jeff said, "No, that's not at all what it feels like."
Can I get a sample?
Yeah.
Well, Chuck, if you don't touch it the right way, it doesn't feel right.
Let me insert it, and then I'll get back to you.
We're going off the rails really quick here.
Going off, we've been off, Dave.
We've been way off.
Anyone would think that Apple hadn't done anything this week.
No, not at all.
Anyhow, Marty, how's it going for you?
It's good. Beginning a spring break, which means I'm not pulled into other people's meetings for another week. And that allows me to kind of play around with stuff and do my own thing. So.
Awesome. All right. Excuse me. Patrice, how's it going for you?
It's going well. It's been a week, bit of a struggle, but hey, it's Friday, so can only get better now.
That's all I can say.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go flying on Sunday. I hope, fingers crossed, that the weather stays good because I've missed it. I've not been in 4 weeks, so.
It's about time then.
Yeah, it's definitely about time. It was about time 2 weeks ago. It's like I really miss it.
Well, hopefully the weather works in your favor and you have a great flight.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Well, we got through introductions, and I think we have just enough time to say, hey, our show is sponsored by Odd Technologies. Now let's go on and do cool things and wrap this show up. No, actually, we do have time to talk about some things, and Apple did give us a little bit to talk about. Luckily, Dave lets us crib from the In Touch with iOS show notes, so I didn't have to go looking to find all the articles about Apple's announcements this week. So
it was quite comprehensive too. I was kind of proud of myself.
I'm very proud of what you did too. Well done. So I'm going to drop a link into the live chat that it's like an overview article of everything Apple announced. And but don't worry, I'll be dropping in links for individual products as well. And so let's just work our way down the list of announcements. And there we go. Let's talk about the new iPhone 17e. So this replaces the 16e, and it gets an A19 chip and MagSafe charging, and there's something else that it got that's different from the 16e, and I don't remember what it was, but at least I remember the two big things.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's mostly all said.
The biggest thing I think was is people are comparing it, of course, with the 16e versus 17e, the drastic upgrades. The big thing was the 256 gigs is the standard storage now, which is amazing.
Oh, right.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
128 gigs. And then if you compare it between, people ask the question, what's the difference between the iPhone 17 and the 17e? Well, really the only two things that stand out, and I give the answer, is, the camera. If you want a better camera, go with the 17. Mm-hmm. If you want better screen, go with the 17. Beyond that, the 17e is a very, very valued product. It's I think it's going to sell it crazy based on just what the features have been added to it. But overall, real nice phone.
Yeah, it looks nice. If excuse me, if the cameras weren't so important to me,
mm-hmm.
I could see this as a totally reasonable phone for me.
Yeah. I mean, but I think that's not only the target. It's mostly not the target audience, or we are not, right? This is the corporate phone. I'm going to replace this piece of crap here, which was the SE within 17e, because that's what our company does. But yeah. I also don't care because I don't need a camera at all. Like, for what?
Right.
So I'm like, I need a phone. That's it.
It's the 10R.
Yeah, it kind of is. Right. And then maybe for, I don't know, teenagers or something like that, where you might want to give them a phone, but not the expensive ones.
This would be a second travel phone for me. It would be something that if it got stolen, it got stolen. Versus me carrying around a heavier brick that I'm not going to be taking spatial photography with. Mm-hmm. I think it's also the phone that, for people who are light users, and I'm thinking of folks in my generation, 60s plus, who just want a new phone and they're not concerned about having, you know, telephoto and all the things that it can. It's got a fusion camera on it now, but it doesn't have all the kind of photography stuff. They just want to take pictures of their grandchildren, and they're not worried about the quality necessarily or the photographer's kind of issues with it. It's the perfect phone for them. And they are worried about pricing. So coming in at this price, it's easier to sell them on something like this that's just as functional of what they need. Safe, secure. It has all the kind of bennies of being an Apple product. It's at a price point where they will be less likely to flinch.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, we have a lot more to talk about, so I'm just going to keep us moving along. And next up, we get the M4 iPad Air. And so it's, let's see. So the iPad Air gets the M4. It gets Apple's wireless chip. So what is that, the N1?
N1.
Is that right? And
and I'm assuming also the C, if you're going with cellular version.
Oh, right. Yeah. So it has.
Oh, yeah. C1X cellular bottom, right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
All Apple.
And I believe because it has Apple's wireless chip, that means Wi-Fi 7 as well?
Yes, Wi-Fi 7.
There we go. And Dave, since you are my living database today for what came out with all the specs, am I correct with my memory that there was a storage bump as well?
No, I think it still starts at 128 gigabytes on the iPad, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I
think it's 256.
Is it the standard? Let me look.
Yeah, I think the standard is 256 now.
128 is the
128. Okay.
Yeah,
on the lower end. Bad. And then 256, okay. 512, and 1 terabyte.
Yeah, the base model is 128.
Okay.
$599 US.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, and that's bad.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody assumed that since Apple bumped up the base model for the 17E, that they should be bumping it up on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the complaint about this is why didn't it start at 256?
Probably because there are some customers that really don't need any storage. I mean, it could be, right? It's if it's literally just a, let's say, a web portal to some application off-site somewhere, you don't need that.
Right. It also gives you a nice physical differentiator, nice if you're Apple, between an Air and a Pro.
True.
And Jeff, thank you, because that's the thing that I think everybody sort of loses sight of, that, well, it's almost there. It could be if they added this or that. And this applies to all the things we're going to talk about today, that, you know, it's not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be this. And you're right, it's a differentiator. And differentiators usually either mean, depending on which angle you're looking at it, it either means it's going to have less than the next thing, or it's going to have more than the next thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and there's this little matter of price, because especially right now with RAM.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the exchange rate, we're doing really well against the dollar at the moment, and the bastards are charging $599 and £599.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Our pound's pretty good.
Always do that.
Leaving kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for subsidizing the memory costs for us.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, some of it is hedging against foreign exchange, but a lot of it is just because they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. I mean, they can charge whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, the iPhone is about, was it $150 usually? $150, $200. More expensive here than it is in the US. Like taxes and everything not included.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I believe this one uses Apple Pencil too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
Yeah, it's a nice upgrade. Unfortunately, not the iPad I wanted, because I wanted a mini, but we'll get that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested about the comparison to the Neo, though, as well. So it's like, if you buy the external keyboard that goes with this, and you've got the Pencil,
mm-hmm.
and you can still connect a mouse to it, it's sort of a versatile purchase compared to the Neo. No?
Well, it depends on your use case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well,
exactly.
I'm trying to think of the applications that are going to differentiate between the two, because in terms of processing power, the M4's got it over the A18.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're only getting.
But do people
you're using two different OSs.
Yes.
No, I'm well aware of that. But if you look at the unification of the OSs now in terms of what will run what apps, Photoshop is absolutely as functional, and it's free on iOS and iPad. So
I just think it's not the same.
There's a little crossover there that's not really being thought about. Because 90% of what I do, I'd be quite happy to do it on my 12.9 Pro with the Apple keyboard.
I think Apple is very much thinking about that differentiation, and they've made very specific choices with what they've done with the Neo versus the iPad Air, and. Yeah. They very easily could have built an iPad Air with the keyboard built in, which is kind of like a Neo.
Yeah, they're very specific about, like, the scale of where Apple operates. They can do both. They can be like, okay, you want a MacBook? Sure, not a problem. Here's the Neo. You want an iPad? Yeah, no, sure. Here's the iPad Air. Like, where's the problem? They're selling enough of both that they don't care. It's not that it has to be one or the other.
Yeah. And there's a generational thing here that with the Macs, they're appealing to a certain generation or even slice it as a type of user. Yeah. With the tablet. Or apps. Yeah. With the tablet, they're appealing to another, potentially a big chunk of another generation.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're kind of hitting on all cylinders. And I like it.
Yeah. The type of apps, I mean, Photoshop is maybe a bad example, but the type of apps available on the iPad is vastly different than what you can get on a Mac. What you can even run. Like Ecamm, for example, what I'm running right now, like, not a chance.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to run that on the Neo adequately anyway.
You could probably run that on a Neo. It's not using that much resources, to be honest.
It was confirmed that the Creative Studio works on the Neo. So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then that means it's very likely that when Canva does roll out their Affinity app for iPad, that'll run just fine on an Air as well as
who's buying a Neo
in this group?
Yeah, I need you to install.
Marty buys everything, so
I need you to install Final Cut and do a Command E to output a 4-minute 4K film and tell me how long it takes.
Okay, well, I'll have Creator on it, so I will have Final Cut.
Yeah. So I'll do make it through there. Make a 4K film and then Command E it, genuine 4K 3.8 by the other one. And then do Command E on it and see how long it takes to bounce that out to a MOV.
Okay. So, since we're bringing the Neo into the mix, the conversation,
sorry.
I wanted to hit that next anyhow. And so I just dropped a link into the live chat. And you and I'm very interested to see how Final Cut performs on this. Although I don't see this as a device that Final Cut users are actually going to be looking at.
No.
No, I agree. 100%.
I see it as a device that students in K through 12 and also at college will be carrying around. And their use, their need, unless they're in, you know, digital, you know, they're into a digital program that is art or film or something like that, their need to do short little videos using Final Cut as an editor, if they want to use that as an editor, that's what this is, the market is for it. It's not the kind of stuff that we do. Hell, I wouldn't want to do it on that, particularly because I've got a studio sitting at home here, and I can do
so
with three screens. So, you know, I mean, I think this is perfect for use at the level that it's going to be used at the K through 12 in college market editing.
I've been thinking about that. You have a studio at home. I think there's a case to be made to say, like, especially for those heavy use cases and the heavy, like, load that you have with, like, three screens and, like, you need the power of the studio. Maybe getting a studio and a Neo for you to say the Neo is for, I don't know, the Word document, the show notes to prepare, like traveling or running around in the house and doing stuff or going to the coffee shop or whatever, the light workspace. And when you need more, when you're really editing, you're sitting anyway at your desk and you're using your studio. So maybe that could be a case.
I think the main problem that you've got is that the iPad Air has moved, the MacBook Air has moved into a form factor and specification that it was never meant to be. This is the old 11-inch Air.
MacBook Air.
And that was ballsy. I mean, that had guts. I've still got the 1 terabyte one. I still use it. Mm-hmm. And it's great if you're out on the road. You can still punch out some videos, not at 4K, but you can do 1080 video without many problems.
And the Neo can do that. So here's the thing about the it's the A18 Pro. That's for me a bit of a weird choice because we could have gotten the 19 Pro and we didn't. We got the 18, but the 18 Pro, the 18 Pro is faster than an M1, a standard M1. It is also faster in single core than an M1 Pro. It is slightly behind, well, actually a little bit more than slightly behind in multi-core. But I think if you're not doing 4K video, if you're just doing, I don't know, audio podcasts or 1080p video, I think that the Neo would just do it fine. That's how good the chips are.
Yeah, we're back to the same old discussion, though, of, you know, you're buying a certain class. Let's just talk about cars as we usually do. You know, I don't want to haul cement blocks in my Honda Accord. You know, can I? Yeah, I can stick a few in the back, but you know, it's not realistic. So I'm going to buy a heavy duty pickup or something even heavier duty. Yeah. But if I want to go to, you know, to drive around and get to where I need to go, a pickup truck or something bigger doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're concerned, step up to the M4 Air.
I'm not concerned. I'm just discussing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm afraid that we set unrealistic expectations to people. It's like, well, you won't be able to do this. Hey, how about all the things you can do with this? And, you know, and then if you find that it's not quite right, trade it in and move up market.
I've got my M1 Mac Mini here, which still works. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I remember the day I got that, I did a straight test against my trash can Mac with the Xeon processor, and it crunched the same piece of video 8 times faster.
Yep.
It's not necessarily the line, because a lot of them have got great capabilities. I think it's just there's a bit of me thinks how far away from Mac the Neo ending up having a touch screen that you can use the pencil with.
But why would you do that and then muddy the water even further?
No, I just that's what I'm saying. I just think the Air, the iPad Air Mint is just. It's got that flexibility. It's good for art students and that kind of thing. They can take it everywhere and then dump it down with the keyboard and go into that. And I think that to some degree then obfuscates the market for the Neo a little bit. But having said that, the Neo's pre-sold out. So all 10 are gone.
Yeah. I would say this is, you know, the people who are buying this are school districts. And
the one
they're
without
looking
HAD. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With an educational discount, it puts in their hands something other than a Chromebook.
Yeah. So there is some limit. I mean, for the price and the education price is another, I think, $100 off. You get there are some limitations, right? You just mentioned no Touch ID. The camera is, I think, a very like old 1080p. There's two USB-C ports on it, but one is really just a USB 2.0 port. So it has USB-C connector, but it's really just a 2.0 port. So literally you have one port to connect the display with. So there's some compromises that you like have to accept. No MagSafe, for example, also interesting choice, I would call it.
Yeah, annoying.
Yes.
Yeah, the port issue, students are not storing stuff. Well, I still am on jump drives that I have to plug in with a USB-C connector to move my PowerPoint or whatever I am over to the, but most folks are doing most students, and this is built for people putting things in the cloud.
Yeah.
The complaints that I've heard about, you know, shouldn't Touch ID be just a standard? Why are we paying for Touch ID? I didn't pay for the higher priced version of this to get Touch ID. I paid for the higher priced version of it to get double the memory.
Yeah.
The Touch ID is just a nice piece of it. So
And I don't think the Touch ID, I mean, you know, this device, Apple cut corners where they could, and maybe Touch ID was one of them where they're like, okay, we can save 10 cents or 15 or whatever on the device. But I think it's more about who's using it and that is Touch ID even even something that's usable there, right? If you're using this in a like a university or a school lab where you have, I don't know, 30 of them, and they're just handed out, they're not personalized, they're just handed out when needed, Touch ID would be completely useless, mm-hmm. right? So why even bother including it?
Yeah, I agree. Patrice, I believe you absolutely nailed exactly why Touch ID is not on the lower price model.
Well, you know, you can get it. You just have to pay extra.
The complaints, if you read the articles and you use Chuck's filter of why can't I haul bricks in my Honda Accord, that responds to all of those complaints about it. Don't buy a Honda Accord if you're planning on hauling a lot of bricks.
Yeah, or like this a is not Fiat 500.
Is your Honda Accord suspension strong enough to hold this Cindy's cake?
No.
I'm gonna give her your email address, and you can address.
That's a commentary on the car, not the passenger.
I was thinking about the comment.
It was a comment on the cake.
And the cake,
and the cake,
and the cook who made the cake.
You know, Cindy and I do a podcast together, and we have discussed the cake—not Chuck's cake in particular—but we have discussed the cake. You make sure and pass. You make sure and pass that Ian's comments on to her.
So the way the conversation has been going with, this, what about using this device and combining them all together, I decided to price out what it would cost me to have a Mac Mini on my desk and a Neo as my out and about computer. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm out and about, what I need is something like 99% of the time that I can type on, that I can like get into Trello, handle emails, things like that. I'm not using it as a video audio creation device.
Yeah.
So I priced out a Mac Mini with the M5 Pro, whatever the mid-range processor was, and made sure it had a terabyte of storage and all of that, and so I ended up with $1,599 for an iPad Mini. And then I priced out a Neo, and so it's the one with Touch ID built in already. So that's $699. So that comes up to $2,298. Then priced out a new M5 14-inch MacBook Pro to as closely match the specs of what I have. Yeah. That came in at $2,219. So it's slightly less to buy the one computer versus the two.
Yeah,
but margin. If I were to but it, you know, it doesn't hit that sweet spot of usability that I was looking at for on the go versus at my desk. But if I were to trade in my M2 MacBook Pro, it brings my total cost down to $1,568, which means that I trade this in and I practically get a Mac Mini for free and then buy a Neo.
Yeah.
And that's like a reasonable setup for me.
That is absolutely a reasonable setup. And I mean, in the whole discussion about, how much power do you need for video editing, whatever, Martin brought that up. He's like, he has a studio display and he does like Final Cut Pro and ArchiCAD 3D work. And like the question is not what's the fastest, because like if that's important for you, if you're, I don't know, a professional and time is money and whatever, and you need the fastest, then the answer is clear. But for a lot of people, I think they don't care if it takes half an hour to render something or not, because they're like, well, I'll do something else in the meantime. Like, I don't care. And I think then it's also, it doesn't matter as much if it's the fastest. Like, is your MacBook Neo or your MacBook Air as fast as the studio? No. Does it have to be? Also no.
I saw an interesting combo, which I think where Apple could be going with this. Come fall, your kid's going to college or they need a new computer. It was a combination of, and I don't remember the specs on it. It was a Neo, it was an Apple Pencil, and it was an iPad, all under $1,000. I mean, mm-hmm. combining all of those, they could purchase it for under $1,000. Now, that's a setup to have whatever you need from a college student standpoint in terms of digital hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And under $1,000. So I think that's, they're going to look at combinations or you could put in, and somebody mentioned an add in, Martin put in, add in a 17E and you've got a complete Apple setup. So this is a send off package for kids going away to school.
Yep.
Oh, that's true.
One thing I wanted to bring up too is the ports, they're separate speeds. You know, you got the.
Yeah, I mentioned it.
Three. Oh, you did. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. One is USB 3 and one is USB 2.
Right, and you can only plug the monitor into the USB 3.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I missed that.
But yeah, but David, Dave, you also mentioned this in terms of corporate use. This the Neo is corporate.
It all depends. I don't think so. I mean, I think it's going to be too low of a performing laptop, especially, you know, in the industry I'm in. You know, you're crashing numbers, you're doing Power BI, you're doing all those kinds of things. I'd be surprised that could be like a travel device maybe, mm-hmm. but I don't think it could be a full-time mm-hmm. device in the corporate world.
Dave, I may push back on you on that because it depends on where you are in the corporate world and what part you're doing, because I can see this being a perfect machine for the on the road sales guys. They aren't crunching Power BI stuff, and they're, you know, to hand somebody the upper level Neo, as opposed to the cost associated with, you know, putting them into an even M4 Air, right. is significant savings. So.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it can run the security software.
No, it all depends on the disciplines. Yeah, it's definitely going to run the security software because it's, you know, it's Mac OS Tahoe and it's supportive. Yeah. I mean, using CrowdStrike and Falcon and some of the other security tools. Yeah, they beyond the fact that those tools suck, but...
Yeah, Mac OS also barely works, but...
there's that too, but yeah, it's definitely doable, but just my experience, they tend to want to stick more towards the midline to high, the midline model, not the low end model like this, only because, you know, it's support too. You have challenges with that. You still get complaints all the time. Oh, my laptop's so slow and something's going on. Well, yeah, well, of course it's Windows. That's why. I'd be concerned, but I mean, who knows? Like you said, this is the 18 Pro processor. This is an iPhone 16 Pro's chip. So,
mm-hmm.
And the iPhone 16 Pro Max worked perfectly fine with that chip. And this is a bold move by Apple when it comes to this type of chip. I mean, they put M1, the M series in for many years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to sell like crazy, but I mean, Marty, the spin back to Marty here talking about education. I think this is going to be enormous. Education tool with this product. I mean, you mentioned it yesterday on the show, Marty, that you already got your folks at the college. I'm going to cancel my orders. I'm going to switch to those, right?
Well, I've heard from someone who's on the old Mac gang talked about their school district has already decided mm-hmm. they're putting orders in. I went by our IT person and they had not been watching the news. Of course, I was interested in the Wednesday announcement, and I said, did you see the specs and did you see the, you know, and I rattled off some of what I know. And she was like, really? You're kidding. I said, no. She goes, oh, we're going to order some of those. So nice. I think she has some in the budget for use, mm-hmm. or will have some in the budget for use.
Yeah. So. It's going to be a hot seller. There's no question. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's our, we're not the audience for it, but it's definitely going to be in that area of education. And some, I will go back and agree with you, Chuck, that sales guys, people just want to travel. I mean, CEO's traveling to the MacBook Air, or, you know, do they really need that power? I mean, they may or may not. If they got to look at those reports all the time, then, you know, it might be a challenge.
Yeah. But I want to go back to something Dave said, because it was an interesting thought that I hadn't had, is, and I don't know what the quote-unquote default Windows laptop is for corporate America, but it'll be interesting to see whatever one of those is, a side-by-side comparison for running things that typical business users do. And, you know, then you have the issue now, you're going to be in that Mac environment that a lot of people... they already have Macs at home, and they prefer, but they're forced to use Windows machines. And so now, if you have a performance comparison that is favorable, and you have a price comparison that is equally favorable, wow. You know, because, Patrice, you said, well, it doesn't have MagSafe. Well, neither do Windows laptops. And it doesn't have Touch ID, and, well, neither do Windows laptops. And, you know, so there are a lot of things that, you know, this could be used as a sales tool against.
Yeah, but I mean,
there's a whole bunch of potential security. I mean, in the sense of better security, better privacy, that fit into that ecosystem where it could be, if it works for certain levels of folks, people who are just producing written stuff, people who might be doing presentation stuff. I don't expect it to run high-end CAD programs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the majority of the workforce is just producing documents and editing documents in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
That this could fit into that niche and still have all the advantages of the build and the longevity of potential longevity of that Apple computers have over crappy Windows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into corporate world deciding what kind of laptops I have, you know, you get your standard laptops, you know, you're going to, we're at 32 gigs of RAM now, and you know, the latest Intel processor. But then you got the high-end people who are doing, like you did CAD and all that stuff, you're going into the $3,000 and $4,000 Dell precision laptops that have to be used because they're doing scale modeling and they're doing the CAD stuff and all this other crazy
compiling
stuff.
Compiling apps and stuff,
Compiling things and mm-hmm. you go into the scientists and you got the researchers and all those kinds of folks. Yeah, that some of them require this there's a $5,000 laptop that's out there in Dell that they have to use because it just can't crash the numbers that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are other announcements Apple made, but I think that we'll just leave those for like next week because these were the big ones for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the big ones, definitely.
Yeah, and
Subtle upgrades between the MacBook Pro and Air, and it's all just incremental updates, basically.
Yeah, and the display discussion will either be 2 minutes or a whole show.
Yeah. Well, let's do that
next. It was quite a discussion for us last night, so you'll have to listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did the last time I was on. We talked a lot about the
last week.
That's true.
And talked about how much. No, it was the week before, was it? Where it was just like, you know, there is a huge amount of screens out there, and if you're spending £1,000 on Amazon on a monitor, you know. Holy crap, you're getting something good.
Mm-hmm. So, yep. Speaking of something good, we need to talk about AWE Technologies because that's who's making sure we have all the resources we need to be able to do what we do. They're making sure we have the bandwidth to live stream. We have a place for the website to live, the show recordings to live. That way you can watch and listen to your favorite episodes over and over. Because, of course, who doesn't want to listen to Ewan talk about the MacBook Neo over and over again? I know I'm going to keep rewinding and playing. It's what I do. So seriously, without the assistance of AWE Technologies, we would not be able to have the live stream happening, the live chat happening, everything that goes into making shows happen here. So thank you for that. And Ewan, since you're here, do you mind telling people a little bit about AWE Technologies?
So they're a construction monitoring firm in the UK. They've got a camera system which measures metrics, temperature, pressure, humidity, noise levels, dust levels, etc., carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide. and it then prints the data to the image that it takes, so you can make a film afterwards with the data in the right location. It's clever stuff. They've got external sensors as well for vibration, light, and noise, and that works with the cameras as well and prints the data. And yeah, they can protect your site environmentally, so the residents can't complain about your works, or they can give you some post-match analysis, if you like a football team, and see where to improve your operations.
Awesome. So does Odd Technologies work only in the UK, or outside the UK?
You can go anywhere. Yeah.
Awesome.
Hasn't, but can.
Absolutely can.
Yeah, I need to be in Austria, mate. Keep saying this.
Yes. Austria. I'm working on it.
And Amtrak as well, fellas.
Yeah, I think you'll get into Austria before you get into Amtrak, because Amtrak is the single most dysfunctional railroad system on the planet.
Well, I can help
just think how much better
be.
It could be with our technologies.
So. Exactly.
Exactly that. Exactly that.
Yep. So thank you for talking about that, Ewan. And Patrice, do you mind helping me out and telling people about the live chat?
Yes, I totally do not mind doing that. We have a really cool live chat. It's really active today. I love that. Thanks to Martin and Bob Beach. And I saw Chris earlier somewhere, right? Yeah, Chris Musselman, exactly. Thanks to the active chat. We stream this live every week. live.britishtechnetwork.com is where you will go when we do that. It's always 4 p.m. UK time for this very show, and also 7 p.m. UK time for the big show if you're into non-Apple things like chip design, especially in space and cars and games and Windows and Android and all of it. Keep in mind, next 2 or 3 weeks, there should be 3 weeks actually, there will be a little bit of a schedule change because the US is going daylight savings and Europe will follow end of the month. Whatever time that is in your time zone, you have to look up, or you can follow us on our social media and I'm going to post it there. So more on that later in the show. If you want, we have a transcript of the show. Of the chat, britishtechnetwork.com/chat, select today's date, which is March 6, 2026. If you select that on the website, you will see everything that we talked about in the chat.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. It always sounds better when you talk about the live chat compared to when I do it.
I'm not sure about that, but okay.
Well, from my perspective. Okay, so it's now time for some cool things. And Patrice, you already have the first cool thing in the chat. So tell
us. I think Dave was first, actually.
Where? Oh, you're right. Holy forking shirt balls. I totally missing that. Sorry, Dave. Dave, tell us about your cool thing.
All right. Well, of course, we just moved into a new house. And the first thing I wanted to do is change the locks in the front door and the back door. But I finally decided to go with a keyless entry. It's installed, but I have had zero time to set it up yet, the important part. But we're going to get that done this weekend. But this is from Yale. It's called the Security Assure Lock 2. It's a touch deadbolt, and it's good looking. It's a satin finish. It's with Wi-Fi connection. It's got a keypad. It also has a fingerprint scanner, so you can do just fingerprint instead of the code, so you can give it to the fingerprint scanner. Various family members, and the sensor, and it's a really good lock here. I did some research on this before I made the decision which one to go with, and I think this works out really good. Right now they have a coupon sale. It's with this Wi-Fi model for $188.89 US, but it does come in up different types too. If you wanted didn't want Wi-Fi, you wanted Bluetooth, you wanted to do a Wi-Fi with extended battery life, and you can do key free as well. That scares me. If this thing fails, you can't even get in. I had to make sure I had a key. So,
yeah.
So there's that. But it's a nice lock. The door I had is a 2.5-inch door, so it's a really, really thick door. And the locksmith told me that, boy, you're really lucky to get this thing in there. I just got it in, so it installed. So I randomly picked it, so I didn't even check the door first before I did it. So, but check it out. I think it's going to be a really cool lock. I can't wait to share what the technology experience is with it. And it's awesome. Use your iPhone, too. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Then now, Patrice, you can tell us about your cool thing.
So my cool thing is an app. It's free, and it's called Runway Map. And what it is it kind of has a couple things that pilots might be into or people who are into planes. There's maps and weather and so on, if that's your thing. But for me, the cool part of it is kind of the community behind it, because there's kind of a community, or I don't want to call it a social network because that's negative these days. It's a community of pilots and people who are interested in it, and they keep posting pictures. So, and it's really from across the world. Like, there was one from Rio de Janeiro. There were a bunch, I think a lot of people in Germany. There was like someone flying over Berlin. I think I saw South Africa, Sugarloaf Mountain, like all kinds of like cool contacts. Sometimes it's just like also cool planes. They will show their planes and have like pretty pictures. And it's just a really interesting and really cool community that you can join if you're into that. So, and it's free. They have some tools, and they have a kind of a in-app purchase that you can lock it if you need a air traffic or cloud obstacle check or whatever, like some tooling that pilots might be interested in, but you don't have to. Like, it's just the community itself is free. So, Runway Map, my cool thing.
Awesome. Cool. You make me feel like I should be learning to fly, just so I can use these.
You should. It would, I think, in especially in your area, that would be super interesting.
On many days, it'd be shockingly interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it the other day. That, like, how many airports are around you alone? Like,
yeah, I can practically throw a rock in any direction and hit an airport.
Yeah, and big ones. Like, we have tiny little airports here mostly, and like yours. I saw the runways. I'm like, I'm jealous. Like, the big runways.
Yeah, big runways, big planes. Okay, to be fair, we need to have runways big enough to handle the slurry planes for wildfire.
Well, that and also the altitude, I think, is a limiting factor, because
there's that too.
You need longer runways for less lift, basically.
Yep. So, okay, Ewan, your turn.
My cool thing used to be Downy. I used to use that all the time for getting videos from YouTube. Most notably, my own videos that I can't find the originals for.
Hmm.
Tell me about it. So, but then apparently it stopped working. So it started requiring a login and things like that. You couldn't get it down. So I found PullTube instead. PullTube is a video downloader system that will get your videos from any kind of website that is placing a mainstream video in there. And it works. It's awesome. There's no YouTube hasn't worked out how to control it or bypass it yet. And it's on setup. We haven't done that for a while, have we?
No.
So well worth your setup subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Still got mine. Love it.
Me too.
Still have mine.
I use Downy. No problems. I don't have to sign into it. I love Downy.
No, Downy wouldn't work for me the other week, and I got pulled to, and it worked first time. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
it's me. It's clearly me. It must be me.
Must be you.
Patrice. Mate, if you're at Sugarloaf Mountain, you're lost, because you are not in South Africa. You're in Brazil.
True. That's true. Yeah, you're right.
You should have turned left instead of turning right.
You're off by quite a little.
About 10,000 miles prior. Yeah.
So cool. All right, I will give that a shot. I've been using Downy, but I'm always open to trying new tools.
I'll try it out.
Yeah. And so then let's see. That means that Chuck is next.
Next. This is another book that I just finished, an audiobook that I just finished. This is How to AI: Cut Through the Hype, Master the Basics, Transform Your Work, by Christopher Mims, who is a Wall Street Journal columnist. This just came out in January, so it's very current, and you know how how fast the world of AI is changing. But this is a good, solid, no hype kind of book that gives you some do's and don'ts on how to think about AI and how to use AI. And I found it kind of refreshing because it's not a lot of hype. There's some good practical things here, and I'm not talking about prompts either. I'm talking about thinking about how to think about using AI and what kind of things it's really good at, what kind of things that probably you should wait on. And I keep coming back to that same phrase. It just cuts through all the hype, and I find it very refreshing and very informational. And I've already implemented a number of things that it suggested because I hadn't thought about exactly the way that Christopher approaches it. So it's well worth your time. It's only about a seven and a half hour listen. So it's not bad at all. And it's, I think it's worth the time.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea with the cool things. They are cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, consistently so. And then eventually I bring something and everyone's like, wow, really? Marty, what do you have for us?
I started off on this trip with leadership issues. I have a couple of proposals for conferences I want to put in. And the first one is the kind of intersection of leadership and AI. And this was based on an article from Fast Company. I'll see if I can put it in the chat before we finish up. I read that and it's like, yeah, if you do leadership without any context and you do AI without any context around leadership, you're going to have problems.
Yes.
So for my profession, counseling and academic training of counselors, we are not trained in leadership. However, I do teach course in it for our doctoral students. However, most of the people who are involved in leadership don't have any leadership background. So,
or skills.
My book is, I gave a book selection. It's not a text selection, but it's a throwback to a bunch of classic books. One of them, of the classic books that I think people should read. And I'm probably going to have doctoral students read it. And I'll probably put my talk around, this is the leadership stuff we're missing. It is the book, The 1 Minute Manager Meets the Monkey. And you might have heard of the 1 Minute Manager series, which was good. This one is interfaced with William Onken's book about monkey management. And the whole concept there is you're walking down the hall, somebody comes up to you, you're in an organization, somebody comes up to you and says, we have a problem. Suddenly, you are now sharing the caretaking of this monkey. And your job as a manager is to make sure that monkey stays on that person's back. So there's a lot of skill sets and structures that I think people in our associations that I work with don't have. So I'm recommending this as a book. There's a whole bunch of other ones I'm going to be cruising through again, which was kind of my jam, 20 years ago. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Leaders Eat Last, The Leadership Challenge by Kouzis and Posner. This is stuff that folks who are getting into organizational leadership should look at. So, but this is the first one on my list, The 1 Minute Manager Meets the Monkey.
Cool. See, everyone's brought all these really interesting, more highbrow things. And then I come along and it's Lego again. But today it's show and tell. So at one point a while ago, I brought as a cool thing the Star Wars Lego chopper droid kit. And I have since actually purchased it myself. And so here you go. This little thing has over 1,000 pieces in it. There's some heft to it because there's actually 1,000 pieces packed into this little thing. And so it has a little lever so you can make Chopper's head bounce just like he does in Star Wars Rebels, and then Star Wars Rogue One, and then the Ahsoka series as well. Those are all the places he shows up. And he has his little arms on his head that pop off so that if they're folded away in his head, you won't see them. Just get them out of the way. And his little tool arm on the front does pop out. And his little roller foot pops off too. So you can just have him stand there. But anyhow, it was a fun little build. And it took a while because there's a lot of pieces and they all go into
such a good brick price as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So just in general, $99 for 1,039 pieces is less than a dime a brick. But when you take into account that you also pay a Star Wars license on top of that, this is a surprisingly low price for a kit like this. So
Jeff,
there you go.
Does it come with a little display thing that they're showing in the pictures here?
You mean this?
That's it. There you go. Thank you.
Yep. Hmm. So the display thing, yes, it has specs on the chopper droid, and comes with a little minifigure size chopper droid too. So there you go. It was a very fun build. Okay. So, and Magic Man, you're halfway through your Enterprise build.
Wow.
It just kills me that that I have not ordered the Enterprise. That just looks like such a fun kit. Yeah. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, Lego does have a license for Star Trek properties now. Mega Bloks lost that. And the first kit that they have produced is the Enterprise D. And it's a large, like physically large kit. And it comes with, I think, 8 minifigures. And it's a very cool kit. Okay, so it is now time to like really wrap up and get back to reading cool books, installing cool locks, flying planes, building Lego, you know, all the stuff. So with that, Ewan, where can people find you?
I'm still on Twitter, Ewan Rankin, and on Mastodon, and on Blue Sky, and Facebook, and places like that. You can get my photographic work for the Ministry of Image. There we go. There's my shirt. Ministryofimage.co.uk, and see just how good I am at it. I've been doing it 42 years this year. And you can also see the Ministry of Image on Instagram. And see, yeah, but I don't post much there, so just come and have a chat. I usually put witty comments about other people's shite.
Cool. All right, Dave, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com, YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Vision Profiles podcast with Marty and Eric on Monday nights talking about Vision Pro. Tuesday nights on Mac Voices Live with most of the gang here. And Thursdays we record In Touch with iOS. Fridays here on the Mac Show. And I'm on Blue Sky Mastodon at Dave G65.
Awesome. And Chuck, our birthday boy, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find me, not mentioning my birthday at all, but talking to a lot of really interesting people. The YouTube show is youtube.com/MacVoicesTV on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. And on the socials, you can track me down and share your thinking as at Chuck Joyner.
Make sure you keep your social security number safe. Now they've got your date of birth, you're absolutely wanked if you don't.
That's true.
Yeah, good point. Good point, Ewan. Thank you all for that.
Yeah, but the year is only 12 years old. So.
Yeah,
11.
11.
But thanks 12. For obfuscating that. Cool. Yeah. Where'd my camera go? Seriously, what happened to my
camera? You just got censored. That's what
I did.
Well, by the look of the picture, it's time travel 20 years back.
Yeah, pretty much. That's so weird. Okay, the light's flashing on the camera.
It had nothing to
there
do with
goes.
The
there we go.
No, there we go.
That is so weird. It's, I don't know, did my ObSpot just do some software update? Or did the camera crash? I have no idea.
Maybe.
It's weird.
There's probably a chip in there that could crash.
Yeah, well, I think it just happened. Okay. That was weird. So, all right. Yeah.
Or the NSA totally... was like, nope.
Yeah, we're done with that guy. Yeah. So, actually, you and that photo, it's only a couple years old.
Oh, okay.
That shows you what it's been like in this country for the last couple of years.
So that was taken at the start of the Trump administration, 2016.
Yep. Yeah, pretty
much. Which is 10 years ago, by the way, just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. My God. Okay, I totally lost track. Marty, have I asked people where they can find you yet?
No.
You haven't asked Marty.
But that's okay.
Okay, well, then I would love to hear where people can find you.
Well, all the same places Dave mentioned and Chuck mentioned. I'll keep it easy. At Jencius, J-E-N-C-I-U-S. On the socials, you can find me there. And if you want to know the projects I'm involved in, go to thepodtalk.net is the website. And it'll give you the different shows.
Oh.
And where they are. And... you might find some ones that are interesting in there. I hope so. Give a listen and check them out.
Awesome. All right. My camera's still working, so I haven't been thrown off my little track. So, Patrice, I'm remembering to say, where can people find you?
Okay. With you here on the Big Show and the Mac Show on the British Tech Network, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, the cool things that I have picked since, I think, November 2019. All of that on my website, thepatrice.com, will take you there. And also with you on another show called Retro Rewatch. We rewatch that retro TV shows. Yes. Yep,
good mug in the dishwasher.
In the dishwasher. Not me and David. Dave. So we rewatch retro TV shows and then talk about it. We're in the middle, well, the beginning of season 4 of Stargate SG-1. And tonight or tomorrow, whenever I post the episode, you will get an upgrade, which is also the title of the episode we're watching.
Oh, how exciting. Awesome. All right. Then for me, Jake Gamut on the various social medias. Mostly, though, on Mastodon, Pixel Fed, and Blue Sky. Then shows, Tuesdays, Chuck Joiners, Mac Voices Live. Thursdays, Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show and the Mac Show. And then Brian Chaffin and I, we do the Context Machine. And as Patrice just pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. So with that... holy crap, this has been so much fun. I'm so glad that we all get together every Friday to do this. And yeah, I just have loads of fun. And you are all awesome friends. So thank you for being in my life. And hey, everyone that's watching and listening live, participating in the live chat, thanks to all of you for being here and being part of this. Everyone that watches and listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Hey, Ewan, thanks just for being you.
Mate, I was going to say, we get the better end of the deal where it's your concern, so don't worry about it.
It's, you know, it all comes out in the wash, right? Something like that. Yeah.
Well, unless it's mixed with colors, and then you can get the red will run and that kind of stuff. So.
That's true. All right. Yeah. Also, hey, thank you to Aw Technologies for being here and supporting us. And Mueller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. With that, hey, everyone.
Does he actually do anything anymore? Does he actually do that?
Not really.
No, but you know, I thank him for moral support. And one of these days, he's going to get someone new on the show.
Yes.
Doesn't even watch anymore.
Yeah, I think this is all he has. I'm not going to take that from him. Yeah. All right. So, all right. Well, unlike Mueller, the rest of you, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. Then come back again on Friday for the Max show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.